So today's message, I'd like to share with y'all, is called Faith at the First Christmas. Faith at the First Christmas. And I want us to turn to the gospel story in Luke. So go to Luke chapter 1. And I want to mention to you something that's quite special about the gospel of Luke. The gospel of Luke, I believe, Luke had access to certain people to help tell the gospel or to help tell the story of Jesus that I really appreciate. And one of the people that helped him in the gospel telling the story of Jesus was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she kind of has a low key, you know, she's very big in the beginning of the gospel, you know what I'm saying? Because it's all about Jesus being born. But then as the gospel goes on, you don't really hear much about Mary. You don't really hear much about her, other than one time her and the boys tried to pull Jesus back from doing something because they thought, what are you doing, you know? But there's a little verse in the book of Acts in chapter 1 that says that when they were in the upper room and praying, they were there and Mary was there and some of the women. So she was there all the way through, and Luke was the one who wrote the book of Acts. So Luke knew her and kept that connection somehow. So when it was his turn, when the Lord put it on him to write the gospel, he got to hear her story. And if it wasn't really for Luke being able to talk to Mary, you wouldn't know half this stuff, would you? We wouldn't know half this stuff. You know what I mean? Because she was there, and she was there through the book of Acts. I mean, I don't really know exactly when she went on to be with the Lord, but she was there and saw it all. She saw it all. She was there in the upper room. You know? So to me, if there's somebody you really want to talk to, see, you know what I mean? She'd be a cool person to talk to in heaven someday. Just say, well, you know, what were you going through? What were you thinking? So we're looking, and I want to, I don't want to start in verse 5 because we do know about, you know, that was in the play about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I do appreciate Josh and Liz. They did a great job being Zechariah. And they really gave us the sense of like what, you know, what really happened there. Yeah, because they were old. Zechariah was old and Elizabeth was well advanced in years. Did you notice the difference? And that's right from the Bible. Luke did not want to say that Elizabeth was old. He never did say she was old at all. He said she was well advanced in years. He was a wise man and he lived long, right? Yes. So, all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to start with verse 26. And we're just going to go through the Christmas story. And we're going to talk about the faith at the first Christmas. Faith. We're going to see faith here, okay? All right, so the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. There we go. So Luke knew this is her name. We want to know who this virgin is. She's Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, oh favored one. Everybody say favor. This section here is all about the favor of God. And what's another word for favor, guys? Grace. So the gospel of Luke begins with grace and favor. And there's one thing that we know we need because of Jesus. We know we need grace and we need favor. And so this birthing, she was trying to figure out what was going on. And in verse 30, the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. There it is again. And you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how are you going to do this since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. With God. With God. And that's where that is the secret of favor. The secret or the power of favor is the fact that nothing is impossible with God. It's all about the Lord. And so Mary didn't do anything. She was a youngster. She could have been 12, 13, 14 years old, for all we know, right? She had to be pretty young because she lived a good while. So she was pretty young. And Mary said this, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So when do you think Mary conceived? I believe she conceived when she said, let it be unto me. That's when she conceived. And it's interesting because in our English language, the word conceived means you get it. It also means that you are ready to bring forth a child. And as we know that life begins when you conceive it. That's when life begins. And the world hates that, doesn't it? Because the world hates life, the enemy. She received that seed of the word, exactly. And we're going to talk about it now. So here's where I believe this is her encounter with God, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the story of the first Christmas as also the faith of the first Christmas in like this. Mary had an encounter, individual encounter with an angel, with God himself. It's represented by his angel Gabriel. But in verse 39, I believe we're going to see a picture of the very first church service, the very first church service in the gospel. It's not going to be called a church service, but I want you to see what happens from now on, and I want you to see how it relates to what church is all about. Okay? So what did she do? She found a home where God told her a place to go. So when I first got saved, I want you to think about it. I had an encounter with the Lord, but then God told me there's a house I want you to go to. And why do I go to that house? Because that house, someone lives who also had an encounter and that has life in them because of the word of the Lord. They've conceived and they've got life. So church, if you want to think about it this way, in this picture, church is a place where a whole lot of pregnant people are. You see what I'm saying? Because the conception of the new life is in them. Remember, the Bible says that you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that we are, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creation creatures in Christ. We have a new life inside of us that's growing. It's not fully developed, and it won't be until the day that Jesus comes back. But we have this life in us and this new life. So you could say amen when I say this statement. Church is a place where all of us have new life inside of us. Amen. That's church. So Mary runs with haste to the house of another person that's got new life in them growing. And what does she do? She greeted Elizabeth. Yay, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy... You know, we're greeting the Lord, right? Worship and praise is greeting. And it says that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, what happened? She heard the greeting. She heard the fellowship. And what happened inside of her? The babe, the new life, come on now. The new life inside of her did what? It leaped. It jumped. It turned. Now, guys, I've got to be honest. We don't know what that's like. We've never had a baby, right? Those of you that have never had a baby, we don't know what it means for the baby to do a cartwheel inside the womb. We don't get it, okay? But it literally means to jump. Skirtawo. It just means to skip. And skipping is a happy kind of jump. It's not jumping because you're scared. Now, I've jumped because I've been scared before, right? But this is a jump because you're happy. And the word for rejoice means to jump with joy. And what caused the jump? The greeting. Why? Well, she tells it. She, not only did the baby jump, but what did she do? She responded to the jumping inside of her, the Holy Spirit, new life inside of her, started jumping for joy, and she could not keep her mouth shut. Do you see why I'm saying this? The first church service? I mean, she's like, praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus! And how did she got filled with the Holy Spirit? Because of the new life in her, rejoicing in just being in the presence of Jesus. Because Mary had Jesus inside of her. And all John did was encounter the Jesus, even though he was just a little fetus. The presence of Jesus in anybody will get the joy of the Lord skipping inside of us. And one of the greatest things about taking a mission trip or going somewhere where you've never been before is you walk up to someone who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who don't act like you, but they got Jesus in them, and you get around them and say, I don't understand a word you're saying, but my Jesus inside of me is doing a skipping right now, and I feel the joy of God. That's why I think it's good for everybody to do at least one trip like that. Just to experience it. Just to, well, wow, you know, it's just amazing. She said she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice. So what do we have? We've got church where people are jumping, right? John the Baptist was jumping in the service. He was just a little, I don't know, 6 months old. I don't know how big he was at the time. But 6 months is pretty, you know, pretty good. So John the Baptist is jumping for joy in this church service, right? Elizabeth gets filled with the Holy Ghost in the church service, and she starts crying out, blessed are you among women. No, excuse me, Elizabeth is. And blessed is the fruit of you of the womb. Now listen to this. Her praise was in the form of blessing of another saint. Think about it. She didn't praise God at that point. It says, blessed are who? You. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You're special. There's something about you that's special. There's something about you that's blessed. And I believe there's an aspect of the church where as we obey the Holy Spirit, we speak blessings to one another. To one another. Why? Because there's something inside of you that is awesome. There's something inside of you that's amazing. And his name is Jesus. And because Jesus is in you, I've got some good stuff to say about you. Because Jesus is in you, I'm just going to bless your socks off. Because Jesus is in you, I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak blessing. I'm going to speak prosperity. I'm going to speak healing. I'm going to speak glory in your life. And I believe that church is a place where we're just calling down one glory after another over somebody. Whether they got a need or what, just for being who they are. I'm just going to bless you. Blessed are you among women. Can we say that to you? Can you say that to you? Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among men. Blessed are you. Why? Because I've got something inside of me that's saying, oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. This is why this is the first church service in the Word of God. Because Jesus is there. Hasn't been born yet, but he's there. Amen. God is good. You know, he was there in the womb too and in the spirit. Yeah. I mean, huh? And two or more were gathered. That had four people in that room. Right? Who was there? Mary and Elizabeth. But how about those two little babies? They were there. They were praising God. And the Holy Spirit showed up. See, that's what church is about. To me, church is the place where as we gather, Holy Spirit shows up. God is everywhere. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. But there are times when God wants to show up, and that's the only way I know how to describe it. He just shows up. And it says the Holy Spirit showed up. So you could say he was there. Now, look what he says. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her. The very first time faith is used in the Gospel of Luke is right here. We don't hear about faith. That's why I want to talk about this, about faith. And the first Christmas, we are blessed because we have faith that God will fulfill what he said. That is the heart of church. That is what church is all about. If you were to sit to somebody and if someone were to come to you that's never been to church before and said, tell me about what's like going to church. I would say to them, and you could say to them, it's blessing the Lord because somebody's believing God that his word is going to happen. And that's what church is. It's just believing God and it's praising God and it's blessing God that we believe that what he said is going to happen. He said it. It's true. It says, blesses that there will be a fulfillment. A fulfillment. Now, let's just think about what that is. A fulfillment. What does that mean? It's a fullness. It's a carrying out. That means God's word takes something that was empty and puts something in it all the way to the top. That's faith. That's what faith does. Faith leaves no room for anything else but faith. And you could put whatever word you want in there. Faith leaves no room for what? Doubt. Right? Faith doesn't leave room for what else? Fear. There we go. Faith doesn't leave room for what else? Negativity or pessimism or faith doesn't leave room for bitterness. Faith doesn't leave room for hate. Faith doesn't leave room for what? Unbelief. There's no room left because there is a fullness of what God says. There's a fullness. So when you are walking in that very first church service, they're blessing the fact that God has given us a full vessel. Praise God. I got a full bottle right here, and I'm going to open it. Praise God. It like champagne. I'm going to pop the cork on this faith bottle. Praise God. Come on. That's the celebration. You love it? Okay, there's going to be a carrying out and a fullness. It is the first use of faith in Luke. And I believe that it didn't happen in the very first part of that story because of Zechariah. We had to shut him up first before we could open up the other mouths. So let me tell you, Zechariah's church, I'm not attending. But I'm going to attend this church. I'm going to attend this church because we're just blessing God right now. Angel showed up at two churches. First church, don't attend that one, okay? Very quiet church. He's like, okay. Anyway, whoo. I don't want the Lord to have to shut me up. I'd rather just open my mouth and praise him. How about you? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. So the worship part of the Christmas story, the first church service has a ton of worship in it, right? Jumping, hollering, crying out loud, whatever you want to call it. And then blessing, and blessing people, not just the Lord. I love this. This is good. Amen, walls. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are doing good. Hallelujah. Now, then what does Mary do? Mary starts singing a hymn. She sings a hymn. All right, so the first part of that worship service is just like blasting people with praise. But now Mary, then she begins to bring forth a hymn. Now, this is a different kind of worship song. And we saw this happen today with Pastor Ronnie. Because what he did was, we did some praise stuff and we were doing, you know, all the names of God and just this and that. But then Ronnie told a story about what God was doing. And he began to, and this song that we sang afterwards was really more of a hymn, because what a hymn does is a hymn unfolds the truth in worship. That's what hymns do. They take just, you know, there's a kind of worship that's just blast. Just put your faith on blast and thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah, and glory to God, and I'm praising him. And all of those are just expressions of victory and joy. But then comes the hymning. Psalms, Paul talked about psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms. These are songs that give truth in a worshipful way. And I think worshiping with truth is phenomenal. It's amazing. There's a way to put truth in worship with poetry and music that makes that truth so powerful. And Mary says this, my soul, your soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. Both of it. So it wasn't just the Spirit of God hitting her. It was her mind. It's her will and emotions. Everybody say mind, will, and emotions. Do it. Ready? Mind, will, and emotions. She got to the point in that praise and worship service after being blessed. Now remember, who blessed her? Elizabeth blessed Mary because the Holy Ghost was all over her. And because she was edified by that blessing, what did Mary do? Mary began to hymn and bring forth truth from her soul and not just her spirit. And what did she do? My soul magnifies, my spirit rejoices. There's that word jumping for joy. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, all from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And that's you and me, by the way. I believe that Mary represents the church. Okay, I just do. That's just as a picture. For he who is mighty, past tense now, right? Has done great things for me. Can we say that? He that is mighty. Let's say it again. He that is mighty has done great things for me. See how personal that is? It's just, she was experiencing the new life of God inside of her. John the Baptist, as a prophet, was already prophesying over Jesus. The Holy Ghost hit his mom. You know, and she just blesses the Lord. And here's Mary now giving one of the most beautiful songs ever in the scripture. And Mary knew it so well, right, that she was able to tell Luke. How many years later? 35 years later, right? Jesus was about 33 years old when he died. I know that Luke probably didn't meet Mary until when? Probably till when Paul came along. So it took a few years, right? And so Mary was able to tell him her song that she had been holding on for 40 years. Let's say 40 years. She got every word. Every word. She just said, my soul. There's what I said, Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He looked on the humble state of his servant. And from behold, now all generations will call me blessed. Because that's what happened to her, right? For he who is mighty has already done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Now she's preaching. She's the preacher for that first service. Just prophesying and preaching after all that praising going on. See what I'm saying? This is just church service. And holy is his name. And his mercy is for generations. So she's speaking truth over the congregation. He's shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. So she's preaching away, brought down the mighty from their thrones. This is all prophesying what's going to happen and what God has done in Christ, what Christ is going to do, and exalted those of a humble estate. And look, he has filled the hungry with good things. That's what church is all about. And sending the rich away empty. Now, it doesn't mean they put all their money in the offering. I don't mean it like that, okay? But it could be. I mean, you know, could tell the story of the rich young ruler. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to follow me, you've got to let me touch your money. You've got to surrender it to me. So we know that's true. But anyway, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. But he has helped his servant Israel, remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. And we are the children of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. We're not part of Israel as far as the natural Israel, the flesh, but we are part of the Israel of God. Amen? And then Mary remained with her for about 3 months and returned for her home. And then John the Baptist is born. Let me see. Let me just check here. I'm doing pretty good. This is about what I wanted to hit. Let me see. My spirit has rejoiced. I want to make sure I hit. There were five things I want to make sure and hit real good now, okay? So here they are. And let me make sure I got it. Okay. John was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb of Elizabeth. He leapt for joy and his mother was filled. So there's a whole lot of Holy Spirit filling going on. And by the way, when Jesus said, write this down, John 7:38, it says, he who drinks of the water I give him out of his innermost womb. Same word for womb, belly. That's your womb. Shall flow. Guys, we got a womb. That's where Holy Spirit is. It's true. Okay? Same word. But it's not like the womb, you know what I mean? Spiritually. We have a spiritual womb. And then Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Mary rejoiced. She preached the word of God, and then last but not least, yes, let me finish this out here. After Mary's song, think about it, she stayed there 3 months. John the Baptist was already 6 months old, so what do you think happened She stayed there until when? Until he was born. So what happens when he was born? His father, it says the name is John, right? His mother said that the name would be John in verse 60 because they wanted to follow tradition and name him Zachariah, but no, John, this is the name the Holy Spirit gives. Remember, you have a new name. Everybody say, I've got a new name. That the mouth of the Lord will name. I've got a new name. He said that in the book of Revelation, didn't he? He said, I'm going to give you a new name that only you and him know. There's a very special identity that you have in God that's associated with your new name. This is what it is. So, mommy says, the name will be John. And they said, well, let's go talk to daddy about this, right? And they made signs to his father what he wanted him to be called, which is kind of interesting. It makes him think that he was deaf as well as dumb. But then he asked for a writing tablet and wrote his name is John. And they all wondered. So look what happens. Mary preaches in this first church service. They minister to the parents of Elizabeth after she gives birth. And then his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. This time he didn't bless anybody else around him. He blessed the Lord. So I see him more as an evangelist, and I'll see what you mean here. And fear, look at verse 65. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things, everybody say that, all these things were talked about, not in church. Where were they talked about? All through the hill country of Henry County, Patrick County, Martinsville City. You see what I'm saying? So what came out of this story was a first church service of faith, but then God dealt with Zechariah and gave him the anointing as an evangelist so that the fear of God came on the region. Everybody was talking about it. That's what God wants to do with this church. That's what God wants to do with every church. He wants to open up the mouths of people who God had to shut up for some reason so that the fear of the Lord would come and that everybody would hear all about it. He doesn't want to contain it just in the house. See that? That was the last thing I wanted to say. I'm going to leave you with a scripture. Colossians 1:15, and I'm going to say it, okay? And I want you to hear me on this, that the first church service was all about Jesus. Right? It was John jumping, Elizabeth screaming, right? And Mary preaching, because the presence of Jesus was there, even though you couldn't see him. Now, we can't see Jesus physically, can we? But we can sure jump. We can sure shout. And we can sure preach and pray, prophesy. So it's all about Jesus. And I wanted us to read this passage together, but I'm just going to say it. I want to put the word Jesus in the place of he. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae. And the reason why he did this is because the Colossian church tended to be focused more on angels than on Jesus. The name of their church there was called the Church Dedicated to St. Michael. So they were kind of into spiritual things, but they weren't as focused on Jesus as they should be. And so Paul wrote this word. He said this. And you could just repeat it after me, I guess. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. See that? For by Jesus all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. Hear what I'm saying? And Jesus is before all things. I just want you to read this. Read this every day this week and just use his name in the place of he and him. Can you? Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus, all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything Jesus might be preeminent. Everything. God is not kidding here. Paul's not kidding. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Jesus' cross. Paul preached this to them because he really wants us to be all about Jesus. Amen? And that's what I wanted to leave, close out this message with. That took me a few extra minutes but I want you to see that very first church service happened because Jesus was there. You couldn't see him though, but he was there in the womb of Mary. Amen? Can we give the Lord a praise this morning? Amen? Amen.